So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday morning. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord God, because many people did not see today, but we have seen it. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. And we ask again, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, and move in this place. Move in this house. Move all over the house of God today, Lord God. And from the sanctuary to all the classes, to the children's church, to the nursery. Lord, move, Lord God, as you are planting seeds in the lives and in the hearts of your people, Lord. And I pray for these seeds that they take root, Lord God, and they grow up and they flourish in us, Lord God. And not just in this house, but every house that would say that Jesus is Lord. I pray for them all over the world. We pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world that proclaim your name, Lord God. Keep them and protect them by your power. I pray for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace amongst your people. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to continue. We are still in this session one, praise God, where we are continuing to explore the different things. The session one is honest evaluation. And last week we went over and we reviewed the armor of God. And I hope you guys really took that in, because that is so critical. That is so important to our maturity and so much important to our growth. You know, and somebody was asking me an important question. I thought this was a very good question this person asked. They were asking, can you pray for the armor on somebody else, to be on somebody else? And actually the scripture says that we are to take up. You have to take up that armor for yourself. But you can pray that God will start moving in their spirit. You know, I was telling this person that, you know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can move and work in people in ways that we can't. It can touch parts of people that we can't. We touch from the outside, but the Holy Spirit can move them in the inside. The Holy Spirit can minister to them while they're asleep. You know, I've seen that happen. I've seen people change little by little just because I'm praying for them. That's why I say when you start praying for somebody, start expecting the change. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to have a speech for them, but the Holy Spirit can make the difference. Now, there is such a thing called an armor bearer. You know, someone that's a believer, strong in the Lord. Someone had asked me one time, would you be my armor bearer? And what that meant is that every morning, would you be praying that I am putting on that armor? That I'm reminded by the Holy Spirit. That's an armor bearer. So you can be that for somebody. Lord, I just pray that they're putting on the shoes of peace today, the shield of faith, Lord God, that they're taking it up. So you can pray for those things for people that really want to be reminded to put on the whole armor of God. So today we're going to continue talking about the armor of God, and we're going to just talk about, we're going to finish up the armor of God and then move on to some other areas. So as we move in your lesson, we finish that whole section on the armor of God. And then with the next point on your lesson, if you don't have a lesson, there's some extra copies on the table there. And what page are we on, Rita? We're right after the armor of God, where that grid is. And page 11 is where we are. So it says, for an important reason, the word of God inserts the word whole. Every piece in the instructions for putting on the armor of God. This emphasizes the importance of its completeness to be effective. The pieces of armor work in conjunction with each other. They are integrated with each other. If you fail to put on one piece, you will be vulnerable to an attack. And we went over that last week. So just again, Paul emphasized, put on the whole armor of God. A good soldier reviews the pieces of his armor and his equipment daily. A good soldier, before he goes out, he makes sure his equipment is working, that his gun isn't rusty, that he has cleaned his gun and he's ready for battle. And we have to do the same thing. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, you want to review your pieces of armor daily to see that they're in place. If your belt of truth has slipped because you slipped and told a lie, get it right. Repent of it and get it right. Don't let that piece of armor stay off, but get it right. If you've allowed some resentment to get into your heart, and it can happen on a daily basis just by somebody saying something to you or treating you a certain way, get it right. Cast that away from you. You do not have to take on a spirit of offense. Now, you're a human being, so you can get offended. We know humans, as humans, we get offended all the time. But you don't have to take on a spirit of offense. That means you start acting out toward the pain in your heart. You start retaliating and you start getting revenge. That's when you've taken on a spirit of offense. It's taken hold of you. So as soon as you feel that resentment in your heart, cast it away from you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgive it immediately. Say it out loud. Lord, I forgive that. I forgive it, what just happened. I forgive it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you something? Nobody gets away with anything. See, that's a lie the enemy tells you, that they're going to get away with it. So I better be the one to, you know, be the sheriff to make sure that they don't get away with it. Nobody gets away with anything, folks. You know, and that's what you have to give that to Jesus. Remember we talked about the gospel of the gospel of peace? The good news of peace is that Jesus came and Jesus can take it. So you don't have to be in strife all the time with folks. Let Jesus take care of it. And sometimes Jesus chooses to forgive them because they repent of it. You know, so we get in line with Jesus. You know, we don't have to go back. Remember 10 years ago when you did this to me, and I know you're saved now, but do you remember when? And do you now, are you sorry? No, we don't need to do all that. We stand with Jesus. We stand with our Lord, and we let it go because there's more important things. That soul is at stake here, folks. So it's time for us to let things go because Jesus will take care of it. So cast off resentment. If you'd rather hold on to your resentment than have on your breastplate of righteousness protecting your heart, then you're in spiritual trouble. When you start holding that stuff, your breastplate is off, folks. And you're in spiritual trouble because that means your heart is exposed to all kind of things. It starts with a little bit of resentment, and then it turns into something else and something else because those fiery darts of the enemy are hitting your heart over and over again. So cast that stuff off. You know, do your best to keep pure before the Lord. We're not perfect. No, God is not asking for perfection. He's asking for a pure heart toward him. If you know to do right and you're not doing it, to you, that's when it's sin. But sometimes you might be doing things you don't even know it's wrong. God's not holding that against you, but when you know it, it's wrong. And you know the way you're acting is against God. That's when it becomes sin. That's when your breastplate is not on. So take the time to make sure your armor is on. You make the choice. Check your armor daily, folks. So the next one in your lesson says, the word tactics in the HCBS, that's the Holman Christian Standard Bible, is translated as schemes in the NSAB, that's the New American Standard Bible. So the word tactics is translated as schemes. In the Greek, that word is methodia, which means cunning arts, deceit, crafts, and trickery. In Ephesians 6:7, it is describing the schemes and the lies of the devil. That's why you got to have your armor on. This guy is crafty, okay? And especially you Christians, he's not coming at you full force. He's not coming at you right in your face because you're too smart for that. He knows they're going to catch me if I come. He's going to come to you with a scheme. That's why you got to have on your whole armor. That's why you got to be praying and be sensitive in your spirit, because he's crafty and he's been at this so much longer than you have. Okay, he's been around so much longer than you have. So Paul's recommended defense, the armor of God. One does not commonly equate prayer with battle attire, but it is no accident that Paul commends believers to pray when engaging in spiritual warfare. I'm telling you, one of your greatest weapons in warfare is prayer. Be in tune with the Savior. Be connected to the commander in chief. Don't go out all distant from Jesus. You know, go connected with him. Don't let anything between you. You know, one preacher used to say, nothing between my soul and my Savior. And I have learned that is true. I can't let anything be between my soul and my Savior. I'm going to forgive you. I forgive you. I'm not going to hold that against you because I can't have stuff in between my soul and my Savior. So I want to always be sure I'm in prayer and that my prayers are being connected. The next part on the lesson says, name three things we are told to do as we put on the armor of God. And this is in verses 13 and 18. First of all, it says, take up the whole armor of God. Again, you know, we got this picture in your lesson about the armor just sitting there. You know, it's up to you to take it up. That's a personal thing. I cannot make you take your armor up. You cannot make me take my armor up. You know, it's up to you to take up the whole armor of God. Nothing will matter if you do not take it up. You can go through all the motions of Christianity, but if you do not take up the armor of God, you will live a defeated life. You will. You know, you can go through all the motions. You can come to church. You can look nice. You can look pretty. You can sing in the choir. You can do all the stuff that you do. But if you don't take up this armor, you're going to be defeated. Defeated. You know, I tell you, I got tired. I used to live like this. And I'm like, I got tired of the enemy running roughshod over me and my family. You know, but when you take up the armor, you turn the tables on that guy. And you start taking authority in the name of Jesus Christ over your family. So number one, it says take up the whole armor of God. Number two, and this is really important, stand. Sometimes, just stand, folks. You know, don't just stand there for a second like, okay, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to do it my way. Stand. There's a standing that takes place in any battle. Sometimes you are called to hold the line. Hold the line. This means that as the battle is intense, you continue to pray. You continue to supplicate. You continue in intense prayer. You don't let what's going on around you, what happened, it doesn't seem like it's working. You don't listen to that. Because there's no failure in Jesus Christ. He is victory. But sometimes it's a matter of you standing in prayer. Sometimes you must add fasting to your prayer, to your praying, to reinforce your standing. And regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you say, you see, you stand. And you know, speaking of saying things, be careful what you say. Don't speak defeat over what you're praying for. Okay, if you're praying for your loved one, don't speak defeat over them. Because remember, we talked about this just a few weeks ago. The enemy is an accuser of the brethren and the sisterin. You know, while you're saying all these negative things about your loved one, well, he'll never change. You know, I've been praying for him for 10 years and he still hasn't changed. He'll never change. Well, then the enemy can stand before God and says, even she said he'll never change. So why should you answer the prayer? Because even she spoke and said, even he said, he's good for nothing. So don't speak a curse over your prayer. Start speaking the word of God over that person. Start speaking the word of God. The word says, speak those things that are not as though they were. You know, I'm speaking things over my family. I'm speaking things over my children. I'm like, speaking, Lord, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting till they start preaching. I'm just waiting. You know, and then that day will come when you'll hear them say something and you'll be like, where'd that come from? That came from that the Lord, the Holy Spirit working. He works from the inside out. And sometimes they start, their heart is changing. And sometimes as parents especially, they don't want you to know that their heart is changing. They don't want you to know that you were right. So sometimes they just change gradually. You just keep praying. You keep pressing in and you keep standing. You know, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings 18. Because we're going to talk about just an issue of somebody standing. And it's in Elijah. Elijah prayed for rain in the land. And on 1 Kings 18, beginning at verse 41, it says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Now, you got to understand, it hadn't rained for a while. There was a drought. People were starving. And then here the prophet of God is praying. And then he says to Ahab, the king, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. I mean, fervent prayer here. Then he said to his servant, go and look toward the sea. The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. You know, you're talking about rain and the sky is just nice and clear. I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea.
You know, sometimes you got to go back over and over again. You back in your prayer thought, Lord, Lord, you know the situation. Same thing I prayed last week. Lord, I'm still praying. Lord, I'm still believing you. Oh, Lord, I'm working for it. I'm looking for it, Jesus. I just want you to know. I just want you to know. And I'll come back the next day. Lord, I'm just checking in. Just letting you know. We're still waiting, Lord, but I'm waiting at your feet. And I'm expecting it to come. And this servant went back 7 times. And then it says, Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb onto your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. Now, he only seen a rain cloud the size of a man's hand, and he's making this kind of statement. If you don't hurry, the rain is going to stop you. See, that's the thing. Knowing that God is coming and God is going to do it. And just at the first little sign of God, he starts speaking it. And start confessing, if you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And then the next verse says, and soon the sky was black. I'm sorry? First Kings, am I at the right place? First Kings 18. And he says, and soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. And Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. I'm telling you. See, this is standing. Don't see it. You got the king chomping at the bit at you. The king is like, well, what about the rain? You know, the people starving and, you know, the rain is, the land is dry. And are you praying? You know? And you just keep on praying, knowing that God is going to do it. And as we talked about last week, if you're praying according to God's word, oh, look for it then, folks. Because I believe this, faith shouldn't kick in until you know the will of God. Because sometimes we're praying something that's not the will of God. That's why it's not being answered. See, we got to get with God's program. You know, but if you're praying the word of God, and you know, it is his will that none should perish. But all should come to repentance. So if you're praying for somebody's salvation, that is God's will, period, okay? So start praying. Start praying for your loved ones. Get your loved ones on that war room, you know, and start praying for them. You know, and watch God do it. He works from the inside out. Sometimes you just see a little inkling, you know, and line up. As we talk about, we're talking about honest evaluation. So we're evaluating ourselves to make sure we're lining up with what God would want in our heart, are pure toward him, and then go into prayer and watch God start working on your behalf and on behalf of your family. He will save you and your household, he says. So let's get busy, folks. Let's get busy. And the third part of that goes along with the armor is prayer. Prayer makes your armor glow with the power of God. Do you understand that? That prayer makes your armor nice and glowy and shiny, and the enemy don't even want to come near you. The enemy doesn't even want to mess with you when you've got the armor on and you're praying. Oh my goodness. It just puts this extra coat. It's like a force field. It's like a force field around you. You know, you've got your armor, but the force field is prayer. That you've been in prayer, you've been talking to God, and you're ready to go out into the day and do what he would call you to do. So when you pray, it says under that point, when you pray, we should be praying at all times. I'm sorry, when should we pray? We should be praying at all times. Our conversations with God should be continuous, involving him always in our affairs. Remember, Christ lives within you. He is ever present with you to lead you to victory in all things. You know, in all things. Invite him into everything. Don't go into meetings without Jesus. Don't go into your things. Don't go on vacation without Jesus. Okay, sometimes it's like we're going on vacation, so we're just going to leave Jesus at the house and we're going to go on vacation. No! That's why you come back, everybody's at each other's throats, you know, can't stand each other, you know, just want to go, everybody shoot in different directions as soon as you guys hit home. Because we didn't invite Jesus on vacation. I mean, after all, we were going to the beach. Why do we need Jesus at the beach? You need Jesus at the beach, okay? Because that enemy, that devil, oh, he hates families. He's always trying to divide you and separate you. You know, you're leaving, the teenagers got an attitude. Well, why did we have to go? I had things to do. Why did we have to go with you all this weekend? You know, well, we just wanted to get the family together and go up to the mountains and just, you know, reconnect, you know, and well, why did we get, I had things to do. Take Jesus with you. Pray before you go. Lord, we just gonna go up there. Lord, just bless our time together, Lord. Don't let the enemy come in here and tear us apart, Lord. But I pray, Lord God, for the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace around the family as we go on vacation, Lord. Father, let us be refreshed and rested so that you come back and you're better. The family's closer. You understand your children better. They understand you better. You know, take Jesus with you. Don't leave him out of anything. Pray before vacations. I'm telling you. You know, come from vacation. They're more tired after they get out of vacation than when they left. So pray. Take Jesus with you on vacation. Take Jesus with you on your meeting. Every event. Pray. I don't care how little it is. It could be your little Bible study. Pray before your little Bible study. Having a little barbecue. Just having a few people over. Pray. That God will be there. That'll be a time of edification. That Lord will set up some divine appointments. You weren't even planning to talk about the Lord. You were just having to have them over. But pray for those divine appointments. God, let Holy Spirit come and be in everything I'm doing. And watch your life change. I tell you, your life will change. I had to learn how to slow down, you know, because I always had my agenda and I had to get this done and move all this done before, you know, before the end of the day. And the Lord has said, you need to slow down. Because you're missing all the ministry around you as you're trying to get all this stuff done that won't matter. In 100 years, that won't matter. Into eternity, that won't matter. But that soul that you keep walking by day in and day out, walking by that person, that's going to matter. The Lord had to show me how to slow down. Just say hello to them. You know, do the work. If you just say hello, if you just speak to them, if you just greet them, it'll make all the difference in the world. So again, we just want to be praying about everything, inviting Christ into all of our affairs. You should never be thinking about, thinking to Jesus, it's none of your business. We don't say it to him, but we think it. This is none of your business. This is my business. Okay, I'll deal with you. I'll work with you at church. But that's how we are with Jesus. And we got to stop that. Bring him in. He can help you and make it better. Next point under prayer, under B, whom should we pray for? We should pray for other believers, the saints, the church. Boy, that should be on the top of our list that we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. What great victories we could experience if we prayed for each other continuously. We're constantly hearing from each other. Pray for each other. Even if you don't know, if you sense something, start praying for each other, lifting each other up. You know, pray. Do not allow strife, pain, disappointment, or anything else prevent us from praying, prevent you from praying for your fellow believers in Christ. No matter how spiritually weak you may see them, please pray for them. No matter how spiritually weak you may see them, please pray for them. Watch your tongue and pray for them. Lift them up. If we could only operate in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, we could change our communities. If we could just get it together here, we could change our communities. Start praying for you, lifting each other's up, lifting each other's families up. You know, just praying. You know, I'm telling you, people, sometimes they say, I don't know what to pray for in an hour. Boy, all the people you know, I mean, their family. You know, when people are telling you about their family, I always ask for the first name. What's the first name? Bobby. All I did is Bobby. I'm putting Bobby in my phone. Bobby's on my prayer list because I'm going to be calling Bobby's name up. You know, because we need to join together. You know, there's something when we join together. We're going to get on talking about that, about two believers. I don't want to get ahead of the lesson, so we're going to talk about that, joining together in prayer. So we need to pray for each other. Pray for our brothers and sisters. Part C says, how should we pray? We should supplicate in prayer for other believers, which means begging for something earnestly or humbly. So we get before God and we cry and we plead on behalf of our brothers and sisters. Wow. You know, and boy, that was something that the Lord really had to minister to me. Because I could pray for my own like that. But to pray for somebody else like that, I mean, be fervent. I mean, just crying out on behalf of somebody else. Boy, that was something that the Lord had to really minister to us, because that was the body of Christ. He loved those folks. And who's praying for them? We pray fervently within God's word for them. We are intercessors for them, meaning we intercede for them. We get between them and the attack of Satan in their lives. Do you understand that? You get in between them in that attack.
Yes.
They're fighting sickness. They need somebody interceding. They may be too weak to pray. They need an intercessor, somebody that will intercede for them with fervent prayer before God. We don't let them go down alone. We fight for them. Brother and sister fallen in sin, you need to be fighting, okay? Because they're facing a huge battle. And who's coming alongside to fight with them? We don't shun them. As I said, we don't shoot our wounded. We come alongside. We bind up our wounded. And we pray for them, and we get in between them and the attack of Satan. So you need to know what it is to experience to be an intercessor for someone. It may just be one person that the Lord will put on your heart that you need to be interceding for that person. It could be your neighbor next door. You kind of see what's going on at the house. You may not know all the details, but you know something's going on. Start interceding. You're not next door to them by accident. Nothing is random. I'm telling you, nothing is random. Your neighbors are not random. God already knew these people were going to be your neighbor. Who's going to be praying? Who's going to be getting in between them and the attack on their lives? Or are you just looking like, police over there again? Goodness, I wish they could get along. Who's praying? Who's getting out there and just saying, Lord, I pray. I pray. You know, you can go to the Pueblo County Assessor's website and find the name of people that live in that house. If they're homeowners, you can find out. And you can start calling their name up. You can find, okay, Lord, that's Bob and Sally Bishop. Okay, they're on the prayer list. Lord, we pray for Bob and Sally over there. You know, my neighbors across the street there. We lift them up to you, Lord. The police are over there all the time, Lord God. I know I hear yelling at the house. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Oh, Lord, to fall on that house in the name of Jesus. You know, just start praying. How could we change our community if we would do this? If we would do this, these people are around us all the time, every day. And we just look at them and we just shake our head and never utter prayer. War, folks. War. We're in war.
Yes.
We're in a war. And these souls are going down and nobody's fighting for them. Let's change that. Let's change that. Let's change that. We put out all these signs, pray for Pueblo. I got one in my yard. And every time I see it, it reminds me, are you praying for Pueblo? Are you? Or is it just a nice sign you got in your yard? Are you praying for them? So we got to start seeing what it means. We need to be intercessors and start praying. Pray for our brothers and sisters more than anything. The body of Christ, because we are the catalyst. We are the ones that we started. We're the ones. If my sister is stronger, then I've got a double prayer warrior. You know, my brothers are stronger, then I got more prayer warriors. You know, so pray for the body of Christ especially, but pray for all the other folks as well. So you need to experience what it is to be the intercessor. Your brother and sister has stumbled, so you pull out your sword. That's what should happen. Your brother and sister, you ever seen a soldier, his buddy has stumbled, his buddy's been hit, and what does he do? He gets between his buddy and the enemy, and he pulls out his sword, and he's fighting while his buddy is trying to get up. He's fighting. That's what we need to be doing. Pull out that sword and start protecting your buddy until they can get up. Next part of our lesson talks about getting a prayer partner. That's your assignment, is to get a prayer partner. And you want to be careful. You want to get someone you can trust. It's not somebody that you had to air all your dirty laundry to. You don't have to do that. Just somebody that you know will agree with you in prayer. That's all you, that's what you need, just a prayer partner, someone that you can say, hey, you know, this is what's happening. I need you to agree with me. And for this reason, if you turn your Bible to Matthew 18, this is what Jesus says about this. He says, again, I say unto you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind and harmony, I'm reading out of the Amplified, about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. That's powerful. Wow. As I said, the word of God says it's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So if you're agreeing with somebody about your loved one, then this is something that is within the will of God. And you have someone agreeing with you. And Jesus said, I am there among them. I'm listening. I'm hearing what you're saying. And that's what you want in your prayers. And it's interesting that right after these verses, it goes into forgiveness. I thought that was kind of interesting that it went right into forgiveness. And I always find that the scriptures are connected somehow. When you see that flow into something else, there's a reason why. It says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let it go? Up to seven times? Jesus answered him, I say to you, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. And I was wondering, why does it flow into that? We're talking about touching and agreeing, you know, because unforgiveness is a big issue with us agreeing and holding each other up. You know, even within our families, you know, you got to cast off unforgiveness in your family. You know, it's not allowed just because you're related to them. You know, sometimes we think it's allowed because I'm related to them. You know, I can be mad because that's my sister. You know, and Jesus understands. So I'm just going to be mad. No. Forgiveness is not conditional. You know, he holds you accountable to that. So if you want to agree, when we come to agreement, folks, we got to cast out all this stuff. All these grudges that we've been holding. We got to let it go so we can agree. So we can win people to God. They're dying. They're going down alone, folks. And we're sitting here holding a grudge, won't pray, won't agree with anybody because we're mad at everybody. Stop it. People are dying, folks. Find a prayer partner. It could be somebody right in your home. It could be your neighbor. It could be a friend, whatever. But somebody that you know is going to agree with you in prayer. And if you need to review forgiveness, Before we agree, I just want you to just check in. Is there anybody you're holding anything against? And I'm checking myself to see, is there anything I'm holding anybody against? And you may even want to confess it to that person. I've been holding this. And I just agreement with me right now that I'm just going to let this go in the name of Jesus. I just say, Lord, I just forgive it and I let it go. Then you're ready for warfare. Then you're ready. You know, if you think God, Jesus is going to hear me anyways. Oh, he said it in the Lord's Prayer. He said, if you don't forgive your brothers, neither will I forgive you. And if he won't forgive you, Lord knows he ain't going to hear you. I mean, that's a strong saying. If you won't forgive, I won't forgive you. And he said, brother, relative. So those of you that think relatives are exempt, they're not. Families. I find families that the enemy can get in families and tear us apart. Oh my goodness. Some of the bitterest fights. The worst war we ever had in this nation was what they call the War of the Brothers, the Civil War. That was the worst. That was the bloodiest war America has ever had. It was worse than the American Revolution. Brothers fighting against brothers. Folks, and the enemy just sat back and laughed because he hates families. He hates families, and you've got to know that. There is a target on your family, so you need to take some authority over that. Don't let the enemy just rip you all apart. Next thing, back to your lesson, how much we pray reveals how much we depend on God.
Let me say that again. How much we pray reveals how much we depend on God. Praying is the antithesis or the opposite of self-sufficiency, modeled by the Laodicean believers. Wow, that's a really powerful statement. You know, note the comment from Christ about the Laodicean church, because see, when you don't pray, it's like you don't depend on God. You depend on yourself. The scripture says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold, invigorating and refreshing, nor hot, healing and therapeutic. I wish that you were hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm, spiritually useless, wow, and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, rejecting you with disgust. Boy, that's really powerful. But that's just how Christ feels about it. These are the words of Christ. That's how he feels about it. He says, because you say, I am rich and I have prospered and grown wealthy and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, without hope and in great need. It's Revelation 3, 15 through 17 in the Amplified. Oh my goodness, that says a lot right there. That says so much. I mean, this is Christ talking, folks, about the church. Oh my God. That we make him want to vomit, or he vomits us out. I can't stand you. And you say this about yourself, but you don't even realize how blind you are. Oh, folks, we want to change this. See, this is why. You know, the enemy's running roughshod over us. This is why. Because of this very thing. What we say about ourselves is not true. We got to really do an honest evaluation. Lord, show me myself so I can line up with you. You know, we don't feel we have need of anything. It says, you don't think you need anything. So we're loners out there. I was reading in the Christian Pentecostal Evangel magazine that we used to have here, and there was an article in there called The Unchurched Church. And I was like intrigued, what, you know, and they talked about the people that are Christians that don't go to church. The Unchurched Church. And I was like, oh my God. And they were giving numbers and statistics, and they were just staggering at the Christians that don't go to church for one reason or another. Well, this, that, there's hypocrites, there's this, there's that. And they don't know how deceived they are. First of all, you're in direct disobedience to the Word of God. There's a reason why he tells you, don't fail to assemble yourselves together. Come together, you're a body. Come together. Not one cell in your body, your body is made of billions and billions of cells. Not one cell can survive without the body. You pull a cell off, it's going to die within seconds. Any cell of your body, a piece of tissue you pull off, you can pull off a flap of skin, you leave it out there, it's going to die. There's a reason why the Bible compared us to a body, because we need each other. If I pull out my nervous system, well, I'm the nervous system. You know, I'm the one that helps in the field everything, you know, so I can just go out there and do my own thing. No, you can't. I pull out my nervous system, it'll die within minutes. The circulatory system, well, I'm pumping all the blood. I'm just making sure everybody's get what they need. Won't survive. We need each other, folks. We got to get that in our mind, and we got to pray for the unchurched church. You probably know them. I'm a Christian. Do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. I don't think I need to. I watch church on TV. You know, I'm glad for church on TV. I'm glad for the people that are on TV. People are sick and shut, and they can't come out. And so thank God there are people that can minister to them. I think that's wonderful. And sometimes you just need that extra ministry during the week, and you want to turn on your favorite TV preacher. I'm all for that. But the scripture says, do not fail to assemble yourselves together. Because if you're isolated like that, I guarantee you, you're probably not doing much for the kingdom. You're not doing much. We come together so we can affect the community. So we can come together, pool our resources, pray together, so we can get out there and do what we do. We got all kind of ministries coming out of this church, all kind of ministries, ministering to the neighborhood, ministering, doing all these things. And it's because we're coming together to assemble ourselves together so we can affect change in our community. So we want to get past this. We don't want to be loners. The lion seeks out the loner. You ever watch the Earth, the Planet Earth series? What Planet Earth, man? And watch the lion, man. The lion just sits there and waits in the grass, just waiting. He won't get the herd of zebras. He's waiting for that one zebra to break off, and that's the one he's going for. And so the unchurched church is out there. And I've seen them too. I've talked to them, you know, and I just see them spiraling down, and they don't even realize it. You need to be connected to the body in order to thrive, in order to grow. You need somebody that you can be accountable to. You need somebody speaking into your life. And sometimes that's the reason. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. You know, and that's why you're out there in all that sin. You know, getting so jaded, you don't even know what's wrong anymore. Because we got to come together, guys. It shouldn't be any such thing as the unchurched church. So we have to pray again and call them in. They don't buy into that lie that you don't need the church. You need the church. You need the church of Jesus Christ. Next point in your lesson says, some theologians believe that the seven churches referred to in the revelation of Jesus Christ is Christ's church throughout time, with each church representing the condition of the church in a period of time. The Laodicean church is the seventh and final church, or the church before the return of Christ. This church is described as having material possessions but are weak spiritually, which infers a poor prayer life. This is a church that is poor spiritually and is blind to the overwhelming sin around her. She even endorses and makes excuses for her sin, for her spiritual weakness and blindness. She is naked, having neglected to put on her armor, and does not realize her great need for revival by the Holy Spirit. Don't even realize it. Well, we're fine. We're okay. We're good. We go to church. And don't even realize where we are. You know, I'm telling you. You know, I look at the condition of our nation right now. I'm telling you. I mean, they're even at a point they're rewriting history. They're trying to say that, oh, America was never a godly nation. We were never a Christian nation. That's what they're saying now. They're trying to rewrite things like it never happened. And God We Trust is stamped on our money. And, oh, no, we were never a Christian nation. Oh. And this poor generation coming up. My heart aches for the generation coming up. You know, the millennials, we call them. And, oh, my God, my heart aches for them. You know, as those children in Florida, you know, and the things that they had to say, my heart breaks for them because they don't know where to turn because they were raised godless. Many of them never was taken because there was a time when all children were taken to church. All children were taught about God. It was just something that happened. Everybody went to church. It was commonplace. And now, we don't even know who we are. And the church is sitting here blind and naked and spiritually poor. Folks, this is an honest evaluation of us. We got to take an honest evaluation of ourselves. It begins with one person. It begins with, I can't talk to you about me. I got to get before Jesus on me. Yes. Lord, what am I missing? Yeah. Why am I so busy? Why can't I slow down and take the time, Lord, to minister and to pray and to get right so I can change people. So I can change, not change people, but change, you know, change myself so I can start praying for people. And the remedy for all of this, Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me gold that has been heated red hot and refined by fire, so that you may become truly rich. So there's hope for us. Okay, there's hope. Thank you, Jesus, that there's hope. And white clothes representing righteousness, to clothe yourself so that the shame of your nakedness will not be seen. And healing salve, to put on your eyes so that you may see. See, these words were not said so that you can feel condemned. They were said that you can feel conviction. You need to feel conviction, but it wasn't meant to condemn you. It was meant so that you would wake up and you would come to him to buy gold. Those whom I dearly love, it says, I rebuke. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I rebuke and discipline, showing them their faults and instructing them. Hallelujah. So again, he says all this stuff that's so hard and seems so severe, and then he says these words. So I love you so tenderly, so I have to tell you the truth. You must know before it's too late. So I tell you now so you'll know. He gave this revelation to John for humanity, so that humanity could see this before it was too late. He says, so be enthusiastic and repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your sinful behavior. Seek God's will. Hallelujah. Folks, there it is right there. Do you understand? I mean, you got to understand, this revelation was given to John. Jesus saw the church. Jesus saw the church in 2018. And he spoke these words to John when he saw the church. He saw the church in the United States of America. And as I read this, I just can't get away from the descriptor of the church of Laodicea and the church in the United States. I just can't get away from it. We are the richest nation in the world. We have so much. I've heard people come to this country, they said, even your poor people do well. I mean, even your poor people, at least they can eat. You all don't know what poverty is. You don't know what poor is. And yet, it describes us. So it's up to us. We can turn this thing around. Amen. We should not be surprised at what's happening in our nation because of the condition of our church. Yes. We should not be surprised. And the scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Amen. Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So again, honest evaluation. And then it goes into this scripture, behold, I stand at the door of the church and continually knock. See, that's what really knocked me off my feet. I thought he was talking about sinners. He talked about the church. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, restore him, and he with me. And then he says, he who overcomes. See, that's when it gets personal. He said, he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant him the privilege to sit beside me on my throne, as I have also overcame and sat down beside my Father on his throne. Jesus was down here with us. He said, I was down here with you. I overcame. And because of my spirit in you, you can overcome too. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. And I'll tell you, everybody does not have an ear, yes. Unfortunately. Folks, that's just the truth of the matter. Everybody does not have an ear. Even in the church, everybody does not have an ear to hear. Some will hear this and totally ignore it. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm comfortable. I don't want to be stretched. I don't want to come to your Bible study. I don't want to do anything more than I'm doing. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Note that Christ goes from talking to the entire church to talking to individuals that would repent. he who overcomes. The change in the church begins with you and me. As individuals, we need to clean up our prayer life and let Christ in. Clean up your prayer life, folks, and let Christ in. Note verse 20 that Jesus is continually knocking at the door of his own church for his people to truly let him in so that he could restore them. How can we win in warfare with the commander-in-chief outside the door? How? How are you going to win with the commander-in-chief outside the door of your home? You won't hear his orders and you won't obey his orders. So that's why you're defeated. I'm tired of being defeated. We need his grace moment by moment to help us follow his orders. We don't want to waste opportunities. Without Christ, we will miss opportunities to grow in him and to minister for him. Do you understand that? Not become self-centered. Without Christ, we operate in the flesh and emotions and are selfish. We miss the greater purposes of God in our life. You understand that? We waste his time quibbling over our selfish purpose while the clock of eternity is ticking. We got to get out of ourselves. It doesn't matter. You know, all the stuff that we put so much time and stock in, it doesn't matter in light of eternity. Your job, you think your job is so that you can make a living? No. Your job is so you can minister. You're ministers of reconciliation. All of us are. Ministers of reconciliation. You need to be, Lord, what are the orders for today as I go into this job? As I do what I do, Lord God. Lord, what are your orders? Even if you walk into Walmart, what am I supposed to be? You know, I know you're going to get your groceries, but Lord, if you got orders in Walmart, just let me know. Just smiling at somebody. Just giving the cashier a compliment. Just pouring into somebody. It doesn't have to be a big to-do. Just start pouring. You're the salt of the earth. You know, start pouring into people. Just be kind to them. Take the time to just say hello to them. You know, help the little old lady across the street as they used to do back in the day. You know, do it again. Blow their mind. Blow somebody's mind and help them. Blow somebody's mind and open the door. Hold the door open for somebody. These little things that you can be the salt of the earth. Just a little God bless you here and there, you know. You doing okay? You need help? The little mama with five little ones running all around her and she's about to lose it. You need some help? That's the way we used to be. Not fall into sin. Without Christ, we stumble, not knowing his way to handle the constant troubles of the world. Without him, we will sin. I'm going to say that again. Without him, we will sin. So we got to keep that in mind that we, you know, as Jesus said, we're wretched, we're poor, we don't even realize it. So what causes you to forget? And this is so important as we go on in the lesson. What causes you to forget your need for Christ and the armor of God? Remember, we're talking about evaluation. So what causes me to forget Christ and the armor of God every day? Ask him to identify for you things you try to place before him. Ask him. Lord, what am I putting before you? It could be the dishes. Sometimes, you know, it's time to pray, and you know, in the morning, sometimes that happens to me, you know. Time to pray is prayer time, and I go in that kitchen, I'm like, oh my God. Let me just clean this up. Before I know it, my time is gone, you know. What? Ask him to identify for you. What are you putting in front of him? These are some of the things that I've listed. Pride. Oh my goodness, you knew that was going to be number one, didn't you? Pride. All the pieces of God's armor can be forgotten when we are in pride. Because you're not going to pray. Because I got this meeting, Lord. I went over, I reviewed everything. I got this, you know. So I'm going in there and I'm going to do my thing and they're going to hear what I have to say. Pride. Review the function of each piece in the shadow of your pride. How effective is it?
You're not going to put on the shoes of peace if you're prideful. Because pride is going to keep you talking and arguing, and you will not have the shoes of peace on. You're certainly not going to have on the breastplate of righteousness, because you're going to be pushing your way. I'm telling you, none of the pieces are going to work if you're in pride. Your pride is the first thing you need to nail to the wall of your war room. You need to nail your pride right there, pride. Pray for Karen's pride. You need to write it on a card and put it right on the wall. Lord Jesus, right in the center of everything. Number two, busyness. Busyness. Because being busy can cause you to forget faith in our Lord and to accomplish what needs to happen for the day. You easily forget peace as you rush about in your own strength, being righteous in your own work. Do it God's way. Even when you have good intentions. I'm going to do this and I want to do that. But you never invited God into the process. You know, it was a good thing. But was it a God thing? Is the question. You know, because sometimes we like to do a lot of good things. I'm going to do, you know, and that's good. But did you invite God into it at all? You know, be sure that it's what he wants. And, you know, sometimes the busyness, you know, why don't you pray in the morning? It's a busyness. And you're like, well, I just don't have time. I have to get up and I have to go and I have to see the kids and I got to do this. Get up earlier. And I know we don't like to hear that, but get up earlier. Okay, I remember my son had to get on the bus. I mean, he had to be on the bus at 6:30. What were they thinking? I don't know what they were thinking, but I had to get him on the bus at 6:30 in the morning. So that means I had to get up. I had to get up at 4:30. And I mean, it was hard at first. I mean, I was walking around in a stupor, like, but you know what? It's something in your body. God put something in your body called the circadian rhythm. You probably heard of it. It's your internal clock. And if you start getting up at that time, I started getting up at 4:30 so I can spend time with the Lord and getting up and getting up and getting up. And after a while, it was nothing. I didn't even need the alarm clock. My internal clock just started going. You can do it. It takes discipline, but you can do it. And if Jesus Christ is important enough to you, you'll do it. I can't go out of here without talking to my Lord. So I am going to make myself get up earlier so that I can get up before and get up before everybody gets up. You have issues with the kids? Get up before the kids get up. And hopefully you ain't got one of those little guys, that those are little girls that get up like, you know, they're up with you at the crack of dawn. Sometimes Matt gets up early. I'm like, Jesus, Matt, why? Those of you that know Matt know can appreciate what I'm talking about. But again, you can do it. Your body has an internal clock. So, you know, folks that do shift work, they do it. You know, if they have to sleep during the day and work at night, they do it. They shift back and forth and their internal clock will do it. So you can do it. So let's get to it. Troubles can cause you to forget your salvation and whose care you are under. You can also forget the word of God and the promise that he has made to never leave you or forsake you. Stay in faith while in the fire. Stay in truth. The troubles are going to come, folks. Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. They're going to hit you. They're going to hit you tomorrow. I'm not speaking anything negative of you. I'm just saying, troubles are going to hit. You're going to get a letter in the mail. This is going to happen. Somebody's going to say something. Stay within the Lord during these things. Stay in prayer. First thing you should think, okay, Lord, you see what's happening? We're going to talk about this when we get in the war room, and we're going to give this up to you. And then finally, and this is a tricky one, blessings. Blessings can keep you, can make you forget Jesus. It's true, folks. Blessings can make you forget your time with Christ. Don't forget to continue in prayer after Christ answers your prayers. Stay alert. Don't become prideful in your blessing. Be thankful and be humble. I have found at no time am I more vulnerable to pride than when I have just received a blessing. Humans, we're like that as humans. We got our blessing. We got our new this and our new that. and we just forget about prayer. Well, I got it now. We don't have to pray anymore. Oh, you better keep praying. You better keep praying. You better pray over that new stuff that you got. I'm telling you, you better be calling Jesus over that new car. Get some oil and anoint that car. You better anoint the four corners of that property you just bought. Because the enemy just waiting. I'm just waiting for them to stop praying. Because I can't get in right now. The little angels all over the place. But let them stop praying so I can get a crack and get in there and destroy what they got going on in there. Folks, don't get blinded by blessing. Thank you, Jesus, that you blessed me. Thank you for it. But let me keep praying. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. Stay on your face. Lord, what's the next assignment? Thank you for the blessing, Lord. I'm going to use the blessing to your honor and glory. Show me how to use a blessing for your honor and glory. Lord, we thank you. And just stay in prayer. Don't get thwarted by a blessing. Prayer is a weapon and our best resource for spiritual growth. To wield the power of prayer, you must concede or surrender to grow up in Christ. Again, we're talking about evaluation. You got to surrender in the evaluation before God. Pray to go deeper in prayer. Pray that God will make your prayer time more intimate and effective than it is now. We can all go deeper in prayer. Nobody can say, well, I'm so deep in prayer, I don't need to go any deeper. None of us can say that. We can always go deeper in prayer. We can always pray more. We can always, it's amazing how you go deeper in prayer and the things that God will show you that you never thought of. Things about you, things about your family that God will just show you, and it'll blow your mind as you go deeper and deeper in prayer. So that's what we're going to do. Any comments, any questions?
First of all, I think about what you said about the people staying home. Yeah, they listen to TV, they listen to pastors and stuff, but we do need one another to come in the unity of faith and one body. We all still need to come to church because we're going to miss some elements that we need. We all have that element. What God gives us, it's like a puzzle. It's like a puzzle coming together. We're a puzzle, but we come together under the word of God together. I can feed off of you. I can feed off of you what God is showing you, and it comes together. It's very powerful in the unity of faith. That's why everybody needs to come to church. Everybody, the word even said, we even need to hear the preacher. Not a false preacher now, but a true preacher in the word of God. That's why we need to come together. That's how we grow. We're family of the Most High God, sons and daughters under God. I could go on, but that's why.
Yes. Amen. Amen. You need somebody to be accountable to. Okay? Because if you're out there unaccountable to anybody, you're bound to get into some trouble. I'm telling you. You need somebody to take some tabs on you. Anybody else? Comments?
I like the difference between with Billy Graham and how they honored him, and that he never criticized anybody. He just preached the word.
Yes.
And then we compare that to the Florida people. How they was accusing everybody and this fault. He never did. And Billy Graham always showed love, you know, and compassion. He knew what was going on, but the people, and I love the people in Florida. Oh, it's horrible. Yes. But blaming does not solve anything. Yes. It's just, I felt so comfortable, but I sat and listened to what they were. Now, Billy Graham's not, now I didn't worship him. He's not any different than the rest of us are. But he was called apart to see, for us to show the difference in what a godly person who stays in prayer all the time and one who doesn't.
Yes.
And that's where we showed up there, where America needs prayer.
Yes, he certainly was a great example of someone that stayed in prayer. Even as his ministry grew and grew and grew, that man stayed. I mean, you could tell. You can tell when people are in the prayer closet. You can tell. Yes.
The devil wants us to be ashamed that we've done something, but, you know, and there's very few. And then I got to where he said he didn't move, he just changed addresses.
Yeah, so. I'm telling you. Yeah, don't bring on shame, you know, and that's one thing that keeps us from evaluating ourselves, because we're ashamed of some stuff. Don't be ashamed before Christ. He already knows that happened. He's, as he said, come back for me. I'm ready to make this right with you, you know. And the thing what you said about, we have the answer. See, that's why the people of God have got to rise up, because no, it's not going to, you're not going to get the answer by blaming this one or blaming that one, or we need to do this and we need to do that. I mean, yes, we do what we can do in the natural, but I'm telling you, until we humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, God will heal our land. You know, we want our land healed. You know, everybody wants the land healed, but they don't want to turn to God. You know, they're thinking you can fix it yourself. We will never fix it ourselves. And that's where the church comes in, folks. That's where we start praying and praying that the hearts of the people will be changed. You know, that we, the people will start to turn their hearts back toward God.
And so many churches have let us down by going to the social gospel. You can do this, you can do that. But we got to put God first.
And again, that comes to praying for the body. Praying for the body of Christ. It's critical, folks, that we pray for the body of Christ. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pray. Yeah, we're 10 after. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the armor of God, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the ability to evaluate ourselves, Lord God. We need to evaluate ourselves, Lord, and we come before you, Lord. We come with humility, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that you cast down pride in our heart and in our spirit, Lord God. Father, we just pray right now that you will clean us up, Lord God. Show us ourselves, Lord. We come before you to buy gold, Lord God, that we will buy eye salve for our eyes so we will no longer be blind, that we will come and get a white robe for you, from you, that we would be righteous before you, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that we would not be caught up in the temporal and material things anymore, Lord God. That we would see them for what they are. The things that just need to be used for your kingdom and your glory, but never to be put before you. Oh, God, I pray, Lord God, that we would come before you. That we would find a way, Lord God. Find a way. Carve out a part in our morning to spend with you. Oh, God, we want to be the salt of the earth, Lord God. We don't want to be the salt that has lost its savor and is good for nothing than to be trodden under the foot of men. But, Lord, we want to be salt. Make us salty again, Lord God. Make us salty. Change us, change us, change us, Lord God. And in doing so, you'll change our homes. You'll change our communities. So, Lord, do it, we pray. Move by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.